Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Matthew chapter 25. Today we're actually going to be kind of wrapping up our series that we've been walking through this summer titled Parables, the Stories of Jesus. We're wrapping it up because next week we're going to be starting a new series on values, and I'm excited about that. But before we get ahead of ourselves and start moving that direction, let's focus this morning on just this one last parable that I want to walk through. Now, the funny thing about this parable this morning is that it's a parable that we've already looked at in the midst of this series. It was actually the one that Joshua did, and he didn't do a very good job. And so since he wasn't here this morning, I thought that, no, I'm just kidding. I actually asked Joshua, I said, are you going to be here even though you're not? He goes, no. I go, dang it, I was going to just bust on you. He said, oh, you still should. So anyways, no, I'm just kidding. It's actually one that I did, and apparently I didn't do a good enough job, and so God says, okay, hey, Darren, you need to do this one again, all right? You need to make it up. You need to redo it. But just joking about that. In all seriousness, though, it was interesting because what's funny is as the Lord was leading me to this parable, I was sitting there going, did I already do this parable? I'm like, this sounds so familiar as I'm walking through this. And I got to tell you, my memory can be bad. I mean, it's like I can forget from one week to the next. I'm like, what did I talk about last week? Anyone know? Can anyone help me? And of course, you guys are all like, I don't know, Darren. I never listen to what you say, you know, or whatever, you know. And you're just, and so I'm just like, man, what did I talk about? And so my memory is so bad, I actually had to go back into my notes, right? And so I'm like, okay, wait, what did I? And I realized it was the second message on the parables that I actually talked through this, and it's like, dang, I already spoke through this. What, Lord? Why? Am I hearing you right? Is it bad pizza? You know, because a lot of times I study at Abby's, and so literally it could be bad pizza. I don't know. It's a great place to study and get into the Word, and they have Wi-Fi there. So I just sit at the table, I eat pizza, and work on the Word. And so I was like, is this bad pizza? What is this? I'm just trying to get into the flow of things. But I've been in ministry long enough to know this. Number one, that you can speak numerous messages from the same scripture. Did you know that? I mean, there are so many things that God can pull out from the same scripture that is completely different, okay? And then secondly, I've also learned that if God leads you to something, then you need to go with it, whether you feel you shared it already or not. And I learned this because in my first year or two when I was in Newburgh, you know, I'm fresh there in Newburgh, youth ministry, kind of associate pastor, and I was asked to speak, and I think it was my first or maybe my second time speaking at the church, and I the Lord gave me this message out of Haggai, right? It's like, who speaks out of Haggai? You know, it's like, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody speak out of Haggai. And I'm like, I'm going to speak out. This is good. The Lord, you know, give me this message out of Haggai. And what's interesting is the next week, we were kind of meeting. It was before the service, and some of the leadership and worship team were there, and we were just kind of praying. And the pastor just began to say, the Lord led me to Haggai this week. Haggai 1, which is the one I spoke out of. And he's like, and I'm going to share some of the background of how we got to this. And I'm like, I thought he was just messing with me, right? I thought he was just kidding. And I'm like, you know that I spoke out of Haggai last week, right? He's like, and then he thought I was messing with him. He's like, whatever, dude. Like, who speaks out of Haggai? And I'm like, no, I spoke out of Haggai. And I gave background to get that information. And we're like, and he's like, are you serious? I said, no, seriously. And so as he got up there that morning and he shared with the congregation, you know, he said, either someone wasn't here last week that needed to hear this message, or you were here and you didn't listen very well, and so God is sharing it with you again. And so maybe there are some of you that missed this parable when we first did it the first time, or maybe some of you were here but you weren't listening and you need to hear it again. I don't know, but here it is. The reality is it's an entirely different message than what I spoke, and I'm just trusting as God led me to this that He knew what He was doing in bringing back this parable this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them up. You can follow along with me in Matthew 25, as we're going to read verses 14 through 13. Let me read it to you this morning. This is what it says. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once, put his money to work. He gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrust me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share in your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown, gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him, give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Pretty powerful parable here. And like I said, there are so many different things. But the title of this section of Scripture is called The Parable of the Talents. Okay? And in this story, Jesus is talking about talents, which basically, in this context, represents money or represents financial value, right? Talents were actually, you know, a weight of gold or silver or even copper, okay? But here's the thing, as I said before, the parable and the stories of Jesus are often illustrations or analogies to help us understand His Word, to understand the kingdom. And I believe Jesus is talking about a lot more than just money in this Scripture. Now, yes, you can talk about that and how we deal and how we're a good steward of what God gives us. But I think this story is talking a lot more than just about money. I think it's funny that the word used here is talents, right? I mean, talents for them was money, but for us, talents means something completely different, right? And I think it's funny because this parable, I think, is a great illustration of what we do with the talents that God has given us. Or a better word is what we do with the gifts, right, that God has instilled in our lives. Now we see here in the Scripture that one was given 5, one was given 2, one was given 1. Based on their abilities, right? And the reality is God gives each of us different talents. He doesn't give us all the same gifts. He doesn't give us all the same talents. Each of us are different. Each of us are unique. And here's the thing we have to understand. It's not the gift that matters. See, that's what we struggle with in our world. Well, look at what they've got. Look at how they're blessed. How come I'm not like them? Right? That we struggle with that. We talked about that last week, that pride issue. God gives us different talents, and it's not the talents or the gifts that matter, but it's what you do with what God gives you. Whether He gives you 5 talents or whether He gives you 1. You're sitting there going, "Why do I only have 1? It doesn't matter. It's what matters is what you do with the 1 that you're given, right? Now, I hate to say this from up front for fear of sounding conceited, right? Especially after last week's message on pride. But the reality is God has instilled some great gifts in me. He has, right? You can nod your heads, or you can shake your heads, I guess. Now, here's the thing. I know that there are many people out there that are a lot more gifted than me, that God's instilled a lot more talents than I have. But I have some great gifts, as all of us do. And this parable points out some amazingly scary things that I've been learning in regards to how we deal with the gifts that God's given us. And so as we look at this parable this morning, there are really three things that I think we need to understand about the gifts or talents that God gives us. And these are just based on some things that God is stirring up in me and has been speaking to me, not just this week, but really over the last several years of my life. But three things that I think we need to understand about the gifts or talents that God gives us. And the first is this. We must understand that they require responsibility. They require responsibility. The master in this parable, he expected a return, right? He expected something when he got back. We know this because of his response to the one who didn't, right? Who didn't do something. We see the response to him tells us that he was requiring something back. You see, God expects us to do something with the gifts that he's instilled in each and every one of us. And so that brings about a responsibility to us, right? He's instilled these gifts. He expects us to do something. So we have a responsibility to do something with these gifts that he's given us. Again, it's not the gift that's important, but rather what we do with that gift. The reality is, just saying yes to Jesus alone, when we say yes to him, when we say, yes, I want to follow you, that brings a great responsibility to our lives, does it not? If you look at Luke 9:23, I think I have this to put up on the screen. I can't remember what I put on the screen or not, but I told you, see, I'm forgetful. But it says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I think oftentimes we fail to realize, or at least we forget the power and the implication of this scripture right here. Taking up our cross, you know, what does that mean? Taking up our cross means that we must be willing to give up our own life, right? Our own wants, our own desires. Why? To follow His, to allow Him to be Lord, not ourselves. Just saying yes to Jesus brings great responsibility to our life. And if that wasn't enough, the Lord then wants to give us gifts and talents that require even more responsibility. Now, this idea of responsibility is something that the Lord has really been challenging me over the last several years. The Lord, I know this, has gifted me with a heart and a love for people. And with that comes a great responsibility. And if I'm honest and transparent with you this morning, as I hope that I always am, I sometimes find myself coming up short in my responsibilities in this area. A little while back, as I was doing ministry, right, the Lord said to me, Darren, you're so busy doing ministry that you're failing to do ministry. At least you're failing to do the ministry I've called you to do. And what I mean by that is this. It's so easy to get caught up in the administrative aspects, right, of my job. It's so easy to get caught up in the facilities part of this job. And I get so caught up in these things that I fail to do what I'm gifted at, which is being a pastor to people. That's what I'm called to do. I know this is something that we all fight, and maybe a better way to say it for some of us, because some of you are like, well, I'm not a pastor, I don't have to deal with those things, right? But I think a better way to say it for some of us is that we're so busy with life that we're failing to experience life the way God intended us to. may not be that you're called to be a pastor, but you're called to do this and do that. And you're so busy with life that you're failing to experience life the way God intends you to experience life. We miss out on those opportunities to use the gifts that God has given us for His glory, right? Oftentimes we try to use them for ourselves. Look at me. Look at what I can do, whatever it is, right? We try to take control. We try to take the glory. If you were here in early June, you may remember me sharing about the experience I had at our Foursquare National Convention that we went to right at the end of May, beginning of June. I had hurt my back right before we left. And the reason I hurt my back was because I was just, in my mind, we had to get the carpet finished downstairs. I had to finish the do it. And so I just came and I pumped and I did it and we got it finished. And so I had hurt my back trying to get that carpet finished. And so I was in pain while I'm at this conference. And so I had gone to one of the early morning prayer times, one of these amazing men of God that you see Him, God used him in mighty ways to do miracles and great things. And I knew he was going to be there. And I'm like, I'm going to go, man. I'm just praying that as I go to this prayer meeting, that God will heal my back. And as we were praying, this leader began to speak up and he shared that there was someone in this room right now that had a bulging disc problem. And that was my issue. And he said, I believe God wants to heal you. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, yes, Lord, I claim that for me. I want that. I want that healing, right? But here's the thing. Then I heard the Lord say this to me. He said, Darren, I'll heal your back if you stop doing the work downstairs, if you stop doing the work that others should be doing. Now, here's the thing. It's not because I'm above that work, all right? I will clean toilets. I will, you know, vacuum. I will do trim. I will do carpet. I will do whatever. It's not that I'm above those things, but it's because God's challenging me here because I have a responsibility to pastor people, to be the pastor of this church, and I can't do that if I'm too busy doing the things that I shouldn't be doing, and if I'm stealing the stuff that other people can be doing. Now, the interesting thing is, in this situation, this is my dealing, right? And I'm one of those people that will do things that need to get done, whether other people are around them or not. It's one of those things. If it needs to be done, sometimes that's my problem. It's like, I want it done. I'm going to just do it. And I don't take the time to wait and bring others along. But for other people, that's not always the case. As a matter of fact, it's one of the reasons that they fail in their responsibilities. Listen to this study I came across on the internet. It said this. It says, two young psychologists studied the conditions under which people are or are not willing to help others in an emergency. It's very interesting. It says, in essence, they concluded that responsibility is deferred when more people are present. The more people present in an emergency situation, the less likely it is that any one of them will offer help. This is popularly called the bystander effect. In the actual experiment, when one bystander was present, so when one person was standing around in the midst of emergency, 85% of the people offered and went to help them, right? When two people were present, it dropped from 85% to 62%. When five people were present, it decreased down to 31% offered to help, right? And when you read this, or you hear about this study, I think it's a great illustration of what we sometimes do with our gifts and talents when it comes to the Lord. When other people are present, right? What do? We tend to defer the responsibility. Oh, they're here. They can do that. Oh, they're gifted. I don't need to do that. I'm okay. You, go ahead, right? We tend to do that. But if we're the only person, it's like, oh gosh, I better. And we will push through sometimes to step up and do that. Now, here's the thing. As I was processing this and walking through this week, it raised a question. A question that I know I've been asked many times, and I know that many people have when it comes to our responsibility as a Christian. And the question is this. Does God depend on our gifts and talents? Listen to that. Does God depend on our gifts and talents? What if we don't take responsibility? What's going to happen, right? And so we ask the question, you know, will God raise someone else up to take our place if we don't step up and do it? Or will those things that were made to get accomplished just not get accomplished because we didn't step up and do what God had called us to do? It's a great question, isn't it? It's a tough question. It's a scary question, right? And I think some of us, we just would like to think, oh, no, God wouldn't let that just drop. He'll raise someone else up, right? That's what we want to believe. Because then we might not feel as bad if we don't allow those responsibilities to fail, right? It's what we want to believe. Oh, God will raise someone else up. But here's the thing. I think the better question is this. Do we want Him to have to raise someone else up when He's already instilled those gifts in us? He's already given us the gift to step up and do what He's called us to do. Do we really want Him to have to raise someone up? It's a tough question, right? If we want to live a life of influence, we have to live life as if God depends on us. He's given me these gifts, He's given me these abilities, and I need to step up and do what He's called me to do. Because with each gift and with each talent comes great responsibility. The second thing that the Lord has been teaching me that holds true about God's gift is this, we must understand that they require us to risk. They require us to risk. The two that received blessing from their master, what did they do? They doubled their money, right? They invested their talents and they doubled it. Here's the thing, it's impossible to double your talents without taking some sort of risk, right? We have to risk. Now, there's always that risk that you might lose whatever it is that you put out there. But without risk, the opportunity for gain never exists, right? It's kind of funny because when it comes to life, I've always been somewhat of a risk taker, right? I love heights. I love jumping off of stuff, okay? I love speed. Now, I can't do it anymore because I'm getting older, right, and some of those things. But I used to love those things. Whenever we went cliff jumping with my buddies, I was the first one to jump. I'm always like, looks good to me, here we go. And if I lived, then they would jump. That's just the way it was, okay? And there was one time that I didn't think I was going to make it. I'm not sure. All I remember is there was this rope underneath this bridge. And it looked like a fun thing. I'm like, ooh, look, someone put a rope. You must swing and go off the rope and into the water, right? And all I remember is swinging. And you come out from underneath the bridge and people are standing up above. And I come out and I let go. And as I'm going down, I hear this the girl up above go, oh, no, he's going to hit the rock. So you hear that as you're falling. So all I did was I just tucked my legs in and held in tight. And I'm thinking, please don't let me lose an arm or a leg here or something. And I went through and I could kind of just feel the rock just slide by the right side of me as I went into the water. But I made it and I survived. But after that one, I told them, I said, hey guys, don't try that. Don't try that. So no one else tried that day. But in life, I've always been a risk jumper. I was always that way growing up. On my bike, I remember I wanted to be a stuntman, okay? And I remember my friends were on this, it was a steep hill, it was a grass hill, and I was like, dude, I'm going to ride my bike and I'm just going to jump off of it like a stuntman, right? And I did, and I remember afterwards, I'm just like, what the heck did I just do? But I was crazy. But for some reason, it's funny, as I grew up, when I came into ministry and leadership, I was opposite. I was more the type to kind of play it safe. And I realized that was the reason that I never wanted to be a senior pastor. It's funny because I used to use the excuse, I don't want to be a senior pastor because, you know, adults are boring, right? Kids are awesome and I just want to be cool and awesome and young, right? And adults are boring. And I would use this excuse. And I remember my wife, challenging me on this shortly before we became senior pastors. My wife challenged me on this, and she said, that's not why you don't want to be a senior pastor. It's because you're afraid. What? Me? Afraid? You're talking about the crazy man, right? You're talking about Mr. Marine here. I was a Marine. Who are you calling afraid? Them are fighting words, right? You know, you call me afraid of something. Or I guess they would be fighting words if it wasn't true. And I realized she was right. I was afraid. I was afraid, like, man, I don't have the education to be a senior pastor. People wouldn't want to listen to me. People, blah, blah, you know, all these kind of things, these fears. All I knew about youth ministry, I knew this, man, you just be crazy enough and wild, kids will like you. They will, right? Adults, man, that's a whole different story. What if they don't like me? What if I fail? Then what? What if I take this risk to go out there and I just make a fool of myself? Well, what if, right? And guess what? I've had many people who didn't like me, okay? And that's just life, right? And they're not here anymore, and that's great, because it's like, hey, if you don't like the pastor, then don't go to that church, man. You at least need to like your pastor, right? But I've had people that didn't like me. But that's okay, because I've realized that that's not what it's about. It's not about looking cool. It's not about being this or that, right? I'm a nobody, but God's given me gift and talents that make me a somebody. It's like I talked about last week, that balance and understanding that we are nothing, right? But in Christ, we are something in and through Him. And if I wasn't willing to take that risk, I'd be missing out on one of the greatest blessings outside of my immediate family, right? This amazing, wonderful family that I get to call our church. If I wasn't willing to take that risk, I'd be missing out on this. And here's the thing. We'll never know what we're capable of or what others are capable of if we're not willing to take a risk, right? If you think about it, the flip side when it comes to this parable is not risking at all. And what happens? You lose it all anyways, right? The one that was afraid. He was afraid. He didn't take a risk. He didn't want to lose what he had. And guess what? He lost it all anyway. He took it from him and said, man, what are you doing? Look what I've given you. Go do something with the things that I've given you. That's what God is calling us to do. Honestly, we have nothing to lose. It requires risk. But we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And the great thing is even when we fail, the Lord just says, hey, that's awesome that you tried. Get back up and let's do it again. Right? The third and final thing that the Lord has been teaching me about His gifts is this, is that we must understand the reward requires more. The reward is a great thing, but it then requires more of us. Verse 21 and 23 says, His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And there are really two things that I think we need to understand here about the reward. And the first is the good part, right? The first is that if we're responsible, if we're willing to take risks, then we'll get to share in the Master's happiness. And that's what we all should seek and desire, right? I don't know about you, but I want to share in the Master's happiness. I want to experience His peace and His joy in my life. Who wouldn't love this amazing reward of the happiness of the Master, especially as we know who that is, Jesus, His happiness. It's an amazing thing about the reward. But the second thing here is the main point I want to hit on today. It's the interesting one. Again, it says, His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And the second thing is that is more gifts, more things, right? Putting you in charge of more things means more responsibility, more risk, right? And more gifts. Now, isn't that what we're all looking for, right? Yeah, look, I'm doing, I made it through it. Yes, Lord, awesome. What do I get? I get your happiness, but I get more responsibility, more risk. Wait a second. I just got through that. And he's like, yes, I got you through that so that now I can get you through this, right? And then we're like, okay, God, here we go. Yes, guess what? I got more for you. We're like going, what in the world? It's funny, my wife and I, we just laugh at each other now when one of us says, man, I can't wait till the season gets over and it won't be so crazy, right? Because we realize after this season comes the next season. And, you know, it's like for us, it's like summer, you know, and it's like, it's, you know, we got kids home and vacation and crazy, and we're going, and then trying to catch up with church stuff because we're gone and here and there. And then it's like, all right, okay. Oh, fall kickoff. All right, get ready for all these ministries. Here we go. Okay, oh, holidays. You know, and we just keep going into these things, you know, spring break. And then guess what? It's summer again. And it's this continuous cycle, right? It's a never-ending story, right? And here's the thing. I've come to realize, you know, life is busy. I come to realize the seasons keep coming. And as we're faithful, God says, awesome, let me give you more, right? And it just keeps coming. And in this process, I think what I'm learning in this, and I think the main thing we have to understand, life is short. It moves fast. We go for one, it's like, my son just became a teenager. And I'm just like, I just remember the little baby boy. And next thing we know, he's a teenager. And like 10 years from now, we'll be married and we'll be grandparents, you know? And I mean, it's like, what in the world is happening? The world, you know? Yeah. Life is short. But here's the thing. It's what we do in that life that's important. God is giving us opportunity after opportunity to make the best of what He's given us. Opportunities to use our gifts and our talents to make a difference. And if we're willing to take on that responsibility, if we're willing to take some risks, we just might have an impact on the world around us. And isn't that what it's all about? Impacting the world. Isn't that what God's called us to? Isn't that why He's given us these gifts and these talents in the first place? To love Him, to love others, to extend His kingdom, to make a difference in the world. And here's the thing, it doesn't matter whether you are a one talent person, a two talent, or a five talent person. The key is being faithful with what He's given us, right? That we're using whatever we've been given to make a difference, not for us. Like I said, these gifts He's given us, they aren't for us. They're for Him. They're for His glory. Whatever we have because He's given it to us. And our job is to be faithful with what He's given us so that ultimately we can make the Master proud and we can join with Him in the celebration. Amen. And in His happiness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. And Lord, we thank You that, Lord, You are a God that wants to challenge us, Lord. You know that You have given us gifts. You don't want us just to go take those gifts and to bury them and to do nothing with them. Lord, You challenge us to be who You've called us to be. You challenge us to take up our cross daily. You challenge us to live the life that You've called us to live, to make a difference in this world, Lord. It's so easy to just go through life and to do the day-by-day things and forget that we're called to do something for You, Lord. You didn't just save us from sin and death. You saved us for a life that will impact those around us, to be the man or woman of God that You've called us to be. And it's so easy for us just to try to skate through life, Lord. But you desire us to do the best that we can with what you've given us. To take the responsibility, Lord, of being a man or woman of God and the responsibility of the gifts that you've given us, Lord. And to take those things and be willing to take risks, Lord. To be willing to try things that we know on our own we couldn't do. Lord, I know I'm not a senior pastor. But I can do all things through you who gives me strength. And there are many people in this room who say, man, I'm not that. I can't do that. But we can through you if you're calling us to those things, Lord Jesus. And so help us to be people who are willing to take risks, who are willing to step out and be who you've called us to be. And to know that with that there is a great reward, but sometimes that reward is more responsibility, more challenges, more risks. Help us, Lord, to delight in those things. To delight in the fact that, Lord, you see the things you've put in us and you believe in us and you desire us to continue to grow and become who you've called us to be, Lord. May we be good stewards of the gifts and the talents that you've given us, Lord. May we grow and may we be people who make an impact in this world, in our community, Lord. We thank you and we just praise you for these things. We give them to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.